It's the Eddie, Jason, and Chris show, and hello, everybody. Yeah, we have a good show. You know, no band interviews this week, but we're going to talk to a couple of other interesting people. A documentary filmmaker by the name of J.J. Yosh. He made this really cool documentary where he traveled and investigated different structures throughout the world to try to find, you know, like the pyramids, stuff like that. We'll talk to him, and then we're going to talk to Steve Hodell. He's a former LAPD officer and New York Times bestselling author, and he's an expert on the Black Dahlia murderer, which is...
I saw the movie.
Did you? If you're not familiar with that, a woman in the thing in the 40s, she was found split in half in a park in Los Angeles, and it's been an unsolved mystery. So we're going to try to solve it. I bet we can solve it on this show if we just put our heads together.
Frank Sinatra did it.
Yeah.
Two out of three of these hosts are quite bright.
Yeah.
It's the Eddie, Jason, and Chris show. Eddie, Jason, and Chris.
The Eddie, Jason, and Chris show.
What's that? Why are you guys pointing at each other?
Why don't you pay attention? Can't be explaining everything to you.
Well, right before we hit our intro, Chris said two-thirds of the hosts are smart, and I asked him if he was inferring that I was the dumb one.
And I explained that I meant me and then half of each of you.
So each of us...
Lord, help us if that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
If you believe in God, anyway.
I don't, because I'm smart.
Eddie, how about
speaking
you?
Of people, what?
We've never talked about religion on this show.
Well, you
want to
talk about religion? Sure.
Yeah, why
just
not?
Quickly,
I would consider myself to be atheist.
Yeah, me too.
I'm an atheist.
So that means we're all...
Science.
Science rules.
Yeah.
I'm a science guy.
So when we die, we're dead.
That's what I think.
Yeah, it's over. No.
Well, in a way, well, your energy always stays there. So, like, your body decomposes, then, like, the worms and shit eat you, then that energy gets transferred to other shit. So, in a way...
But all your memory
and who you are is gone. Your consciousness is gone as far as we know.
So you're dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all there is.
Energy.
So kind of...
Technically, Eddie's right. You know, conservation of energy and, everything is blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. You can't...
great discussion.
The person you are is gone.
We should get Neil deGrasse Tyson on the show to talk about...
Science
sometime. That'd be awesome if we could get him.
Yeah.
He's probably too big for him.
He would not be on this show.
He's like, what is this shit? Why would I come on this stupid show?
I'm actually excited about this Steve Hodell guy. I've read part of this book.
Oh, you actually have read the part of this book?
Like a couple pages.
Like a synopsis.
You read the back of it in Barnes & Noble, and now you're an expert?
The jacket cover.
Well, speaking of the... Well,
I seriously considered purchasing it.
Oh, really? Tell him
maybe
that.
Maybe you can ask him to persuade you to buy it.
It was on the bookshelf at one of the jobs I had.
Was it on sale, like clearance?
No, it was at work. It was somebody, yeah.
Well, speaking of intelligence level... people, there's this thing that was trending on Twitter, was hashtag Trump book report, where people made it sound like Trump was giving a book report. You guys want to try to guess the book if I give you a couple of these tweets?
Sure, why
yes,
not?
Let's do it.
Juliet, such a nasty woman. She made Romeo kill herself. And believe me, he could have done better. Look at her.
Is it Romeo and Juliet?
Yeah, that one's easy.
Yeah, that one's super easy.
That one actually has the name of the book in it.
Wow.
There's a lord, and he's got rings. Lots of rings.
Oh, my God.
The best rings. And two of the best towers anyone has seen. Yeah, we all know that one.
Yeah.
I guess it's pretty easy to
guess. So people are doing...
Look into this, did you?
No. That's a half-assed bit here. Let's just bail
well,
on this one.
Well, that's the same as all of our bits.
Let's just...
We can't have any one bit... being full of effort, because you know we don't want to set that bar too high.
No,
we all have jobs and lives.
If the
We're
bit
very
doesn't
people.
If the bit doesn't work, we still have to own it and go for it.
Charlotte's Web, spider dies at end. No stamina. What a loser.
Lord of the Rings.
Yep. Actually, there is one for Lord of the Rings in here.
I know you just read it. That's why I was.
Oh, did I say that one?
Oh my God.
See this? Yeah,
you were right.
This bit is failing.
Can I at least get three quarters over here, and he can have a quarter?
I'm gonna bail on that.
I think officially, yes. Yeah.
Nice.
Why don't we dig into the? You know, we've been doing the show for quite some time, and we have this giant. We have this giant prank call archive that I just stumbled upon.
You uncovered?
Yeah. Do you want to? Should we dip into the archive?
Oh my gosh!
We can play an old prank call classic.
This should be like on the History Channel or something like. You uncover.
I know.
Like you're an archaeologist or something.
All right. Let's see what we have here.
Oh, my.
EJC Classic Prank Call.
There's a couple to choose from here.
I like that bumper.
You like that one?
I do.
Where'd you find
them? I was thinking we should have more production value in the show.
Where'd you find them?
Just on an old hard drive I had. And here we go. So here's where we're calling an auto body shop.
Was it this show or the previous show?
I think, I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
Who knows? Who cares?
Let's face it, it's the same show.
Oh.
Hey, Jim, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, this is Steve. Jim, are you there?
Jim?
Jim?
Yeah?
Hey, how's it going, Steve?
Okay, Steve who?
Hey, Jim, I was just wondering why you didn't invite me to the barbecue this weekend.
I haven't got a barbecue.
Well, we're going to have one over here if you want to come by.
At where?
Going to have some brats.
We're going to go have it over at Brad's house. You want to come over?
I think you got the wrong number.
No, it's all right, Jim.
This is Jim, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just off of, it's going to be off of Highway 6 by Bar Lake. Jim?
We're going to go fishing, too, have some beers.
Jim? Hey,
could you bring some potato salad?
I still don't know
That's
why.
The only thing we don't have, Jim.
I think you still think you're talking to the wrong Jim.
Well, Jim, you're invited. Don't be selfish.
Well, don't make any difference. Who is this?
What kind of beer do you want us to pick up for you?
It's Gary and Steven.
You still got the wrong Jim. I don't drink beer.
Well, what do you drink?
Water.
We'll get you some waters. Aquafina.
No. Jim likes Arrowhead.
That was Yvonne's
laugh. That was a good thing, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Nah, I miss Yvonne.
Ah, me too. She went south to hell.
She used to come on the show. So there's all these prank
that
calls.
That was a classic.
That was a good prank call. I liked that one, by the way. I think you guys did a good job.
That was a heyday.
And there was good accents, too. You nailed the Midwest or Wisconsin or whatever.
Or Canadian.
I feel like we should bring back those characters.
Jim?
Hey, Jim, we got a barbecue.
Random Jims?
What was your names? Scott and Gary?
Gary and Steve.
Gary and Steve.
Boy, you two, those are the gayest names you could have possibly
chosen.
Don't
judge us.
And in the gayest order, if it was Steve and Gary, it'd be fine, but Gary and Steve.
And why did they have to, like, make a phone call together?
Right?
It's so weird.
People used to do that in the 90s. People had conference calls. It was all the rage.
Or you pick up both lines. You just don't want, like on a landline, you could pick up both, two telephones and you're on the same line.
Before there was texting, sometimes you would do a three-way call to make plans with people.
That is true.
I remember. Eddie was the king of three-way calls, too. You were the king.
Was I?
Yeah.
I kind of feel like we should, you want to do a live call?
No.
I have somebody.
Why not?
Why do you got to ruin this good feeling?
Well, I kind of just want to bring back
because we
these,
can make a new.
Let's just bring back these characters
memory.
Just real quick. We don't do these live prank calls ever anymore, but we'll just see how this works.
Let's
out.
Let's make a new memory, Chris. How about that instead of living in the past?
Sounds dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Life's dangerous.
Here we go. Hello.
Thank you for calling your Walmart.
There you go.
We appreciate your business.
On the fly. I like it.
Hey, you like that?
Yeah.
I just kind of want to bring back these characters just real quick, even though they're going to hang up on us pretty quickly. This could be part of the bit. We try to recreate the magic, and then it fails.
Fresh for Walmart. How may I help you?
Hey, how you doing? It's Gary and Steve's here.
Hi.
How are you?
What's up?
Do you guys have any Arrowhead or Aquafinas on sale? I thought I saw something in the paper.
We got a barbecue this week, and we're getting ready for.
Jim's coming.
You want to come?
No, thanks.
It's okay. Come on. Don't be shy now.
We're trying to get a good get-together, and we're trying to make new friends. We just moved here.
From Aquafinas? Are those on sale, or is it the Arrowhead? We can't remember.
What do you prefer? Do you like Aquafina, or do you like Arrowhead?
I don't have a perk.
What's your favorite flavor of water?
We'll get it for you so you can come on over.
Come on out.
Let's do it.
We'll bring some. Do you like Doritos? What? How can we get you to come to this barbecue?
We're going to have some brats and some steak. All you need to do is bring some potato salad.
I don't know how to make potato salad.
Don't put any onions in there this time.
Yeah. Gary doesn't like onions.
Get some gas.
We don't want gassy Gary. It's no good.
But
I'm sorry.
You're not giving us a concrete answer. Is it Arrowhead or Aquafina on sale?
I can look for you. Do you mind?
No, don't look. Just tell us.
It's okay. What do you like to drink? Should we get you a bottle of wine so you can get a little crazy?
No.
Some beers?
Spritzers?
Ooh, I love spritzers.
No.
Well, what can we get you, darling?
Are you going poop?
Wipe twice.
Hello, is anybody there?
Yeah.
We're trying to get this barbecue together. We were just calling about the Aquafina, or was it the Arrowheads that were on sale?
We got confused.
I apologize. Are you trying to reach Walmart?
Is this John?
Yeah, Walmart carries water, right?
Yes, Walmart does carry water, and we do sell it. And just making sure that you are calling for Walmart.
We're just trying to get this barbecue going.
Okay, well, the thing is, we've been receiving multiple private numbers just doing hoax and prank calls, so.
Weird.
Wow, well, that's crazy.
I don't know why you're bringing that up. That's a bit accusatory. Just trying to get
we just need some water. And we want to know which one's on sale.
What would you like to know about any water?
What's your favorite flavor, Aquafina or Arrowhead?
And what are the prices?
I'm not allowed to give that information.
You can't? Your preference on water is top secret?
No, I'm just not allowed to give my opinion on any products.
Oh. Blink twice if it's Arrowhead.
All right, they're not hanging up on us. I got to get out of that. I just had to hang up.
Man, they outdid us.
I know. That was getting exhausting.
How does that happen?
I know.
I think you blinked twice, though. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I guess they've been getting a lot of prank calls there, huh?
That must have been from us.
Do you call the same store every time?
I must be doing it on accident. I don't know.
He's randomly Googling the same Walmart and the southern states.
Let's hit a song and we'll talk to J.J. Yosh. He's a chemical engineer and also one of the makers of Ancient Tomorrow documentary. It's the Eddie Jason and Chris Show. 1-888-99 Adobe is the phone number, of course. You can also follow us on Twitter. It's EJC Show. And we're very pleased to welcome our first guest here, Mr. J.J. Yosh. And he's part of a team that put together a very interesting-looking documentary. I haven't seen it yet, but it's called Ancient Tomorrow, The Journey Begins Now. And so, J.J., you guys, I guess, traveled all over the world for this thing, and you're trying to answer questions about our present by digging into the past.
What a cool job.
Which is really cool. The trailer for it looks amazing. You guys got some really cool footage and went to some really cool places. Welcome to the show, JJ. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's been a journey, and finally after 10 years we have our first film complete. Subsequent films are not going to take as long, but yeah, it's been quite a journey, and I'm glad that we have a movie to finally show our research and everything that we've done.
Now, why don't you give us like just a quick background of what this project's all about?
Okay, definitely. The project started around these ancient ruins. So basically, there's a theory called the Giza power plant theory. And it's a theory that Chris Dunn, he's an engineer in the U.S. He started this theory. This theory has been around for a while, but he's been investigating it and other engineers have been investigating it. It's basically that the Giza pyramids in Egypt are not tombs. They're not temples, but they're in fact power plants.
Power plants. Like, so they would create electricity in those and power, you know, the ancient ancient Egypt.
The question I get all the time is, okay, so if these things are power plants, what did they power?
Yeah, iPhones, and
you know, we've been taught. I remember when I was in school, you know, in junior high, being taught that the pyramids were only a couple thousand years old and they were built by slaves and you know, they're not that high tech. And so that's kind of what we were taught. And the Giza power plant theory basically goes into explaining that these pyramids were actually power plants that powered a ancient metropolis that spanned the entire globe, and that the Giza pyramids were only just a few of the many pyramids that were connected to this power grid around the world.
Where are the ruins then? I mean, I know that we have some ruins from that time, but if it was like such a big metropolis, how come we don't see more?
Well, we do see some ruins, like the ones in Tiwanaku, which we visited in Bolivia. And, you know, there are the ruins in Angkor Wat and Easter Island. The thing is, there's a lot of ruins that are underwater. Okay. And there's a lot of ruins that are buried under thick forest jungles. With the new technology they've been doing that can use LIDAR to go under to see underneath the ground, they're finding more and more ruins around the world through this technology.
In your research, when you guys were doing this documentary, did you actually find anything that had been previously undiscovered?
When we went to Bolivia, we went to Tiwanaku, and at the time we were there, we had a strong suspicion that there was some sort of underground structure, some sort of underground pyramid structure there. And that was just based on our hypothesis and everything that we had been doing research prior to going. And it wasn't until I think 6 months later after we had visited that the Archaeological Society released information proving that there was structures underneath there.
Interesting.
So that was a recent discovery that wasn't released. The thing about the archaeological community is, and even with just the times we live in, there's a lot of information out there that is kept from the public. And
really, why is that? Why are we keeping things from the public?
Well, as we know, knowledge is power. It's the most powerful thing you can possibly have.
Right.
It trumps money and everything else. And so, this knowledge comes a sense of control that, you know, you want to make sure that the general public is able to digest this information at an appropriate time. And it's just kind of like in today's day and age, if the government was to release.
Is it the government that's holding this information back, or is it who's pulling the strings here?
Well, I don't think the entire U.S. government knows about all this technology. I think there's a select few that know.
Why would it be a big deal for us to know that, you know, in ancient times there was electrical power? Why would that be so mind-blowing, and why would that change our society today exactly?
How old do you think these power plants are?
Well, so our research has gone to the time frame of around 10,000 years, but we work with some experts like Stephen Mailer, who believes that they could even be as old as 40,000 years old or even older than that based on his different research on it. So it's not really we're not really exact on the date, but it's definitely way older than the 2,000 to 4,000 years, which is what we've been taught and which has been accepted.
But now, why would this be so shattering if the public were to find out that there was electricity back in those times?
Well, it could have to do with the infrastructure that's currently set up right now. Oil is obviously a huge part of our economy, and if as much as environmentalists might be against the oil industry, if the oil industry was to collapse right now, it would completely destroy our economy.
So this power that the
economy is built upon it.
This power that you're theorizing that they were creating back in those times was just 100% free, clear, clean energy.
I think with any sort of energy, there's obviously going to be consequences, and obviously there was some sort of consequence because it's not around right now. So, and that's a whole nother discussion of what happened to it. But I think that this power supply was very much a clean burning power source. It was connected to this electromagnetic grid that currently surrounds the entire globe, and yeah, it was built with the earth. It was harnessing the earth's energy.
And why? What's preventing us from going to these sites and just flipping a switch and turning all this back on?
Well, I think with any sort of structures, if it's connected to, you got to look at it like this. If look at it as you would look at our cell phones today. If we had some sort of catastrophe that shut down our cell towers, our cell phones would just stop working, and our internet would just stop working. And even though it's this amazing technology that we have today, if it doesn't have the right infrastructure, it won't work. So I think of that as the same with these pyramids, is that they were part of a much larger infrastructure, and unless we activate every single part of the infrastructure, they're not going to work.
And is there any evidence of anything that was powered by this power source? Like, what were they using this power for exactly? Do you have any idea? Besides, like lights, I know I've seen some sites that have some hieroglyphics of objects that kind of look like light bulbs. But anything else that they might be powering with this electricity?
So what they might have powered with this energy, definitely light bulbs and the light fixtures in and out of the housing. Also, we've seen through the Inca rocks in Bolivia, as well as even in hieroglyphics, that there might have been technology like aircraft and even automobiles. So wow, that's another thing that they could have powered.
Interesting. Well, that's a fact.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, when we think of technology back then, it may not be exactly the same looking technology that we have today. If you look at Back to the Future, the movie, it projected what they thought technology would look like in 2015. And obviously it looks a little different, instead of having we are getting the hoverboards now, but we now have, they didn't foresee cell phones and how we would be taking selfies of each other and all that stuff. And that's kind of the technology that we have in 2016 now.
Right.
So
Yeah, that makes sense.
It look a lot different.
I'm really interested in checking out this film. Ancient Tomorrow is the name of it. The Journey Begins Now, and it's widely released on November 3rd, or November 8th rather, right, on Amazon, Vimeo, and Google Play. And then also, you guys are doing a premiere. If anybody happens to be in the Colorado area, there's a premiere coming up on Thursday, November 3rd, at the American Mountaineering Center. That's in Golden. I'm really interested in seeing this. maybe you guys can send over a screener or something, and we'll check it out. We could talk about it more, and we appreciate you coming on the show, JJ Yosh, chemical engineer, and one of the people behind Ancient Tomorrow documentary. Well, thanks, man. Yeah. We appreciate it. Anything else you wanted to plug while we have you?
No. Will you guys be able to go to the premiere yourselves?
Possibly. Yeah, that'd be cool if we could do that. We'll let you guys know. Thank you for the invite.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool.
Yeah, you know, this is the first chapter in the journey. So there's a lot more movies to come. You know, this is a huge investigation and it's just beginning. And with the election just coming around right now, it couldn't be a better time to release this information.
Interesting. Well, I can't wait to see the whole thing and what you guys uncovered. Well, thanks again, JJ, for coming on the show. Well, I think his connection cut out, but hey, good timing. That's interesting stuff.
Yeah.
You guys going to go to the premiere?
I checked the date. I'm actually working.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, it's the Eddie Jason Chris show. What a bummer.
Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe. It's in Golden.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I have more questions for them.
Do you? I think it's like kind of an open forum type thing. They show the film and then they have a Q&A.
Right. Like, so they're saying 10,000 years ago, possibly longer or older?
10 to 40,000, I think is what he said. Yeah. Huh. I don't know. It's interesting work. Wouldn't that be cool to be able to do that, though? Like, just to go around the world looking
at
these?
Yeah, I think that's cool. Like, I just don't...
How do you get that job?
I don't know if I believe it. Like, their whole theory.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Do you guys believe it?
I'm going to have to see more evidence.
I can't say that I do.
Do you have an open mind, or you're like, no, this is crazy?
An open mind in general, or an open mind about this?
Towards this.
No, I honestly am feeling pretty dismissive about it.
Yeah.
Well, Eddie? I don't know. I just don't know.
I mean, you are into conspiracies.
There's a lot we don't know about this time, and we think that the pyramids are a lot younger than they are.
What do you mean they are?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
I don't even know what I'm talking about. I have no idea. I don't know enough about this topic. I'm not going to bullshit.
Is there a way
it.
You can date the pyramids? Like, I don't know if you
like,
can carbon
yeah,
date
Yeah, you
them.
Match them on Tinder. And
I don't know if you can carbon date them or not. Come on, let intellectual talk right now, Eddie.
Yeah, you can carbon date it.
I don't know if you can. Can you?
I think you can carbon date anything.
Can
Isn't
you?
Isn't that the point? Yeah, I think you can.
So why don't they carbon date this shit?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, he's a chemical engineer, right? Like, that should be in his wheelhouse, right?
This is Eddie, Jason, and Chris. EJCShow.com.
It's the Eddie, Jason, and Chris show. If you haven't followed us on Twitter yet, go do it. EJC show on Twitter. We always follow back, by the way, for the most part.
Really?
Sometimes. Never. So did you guys see or hear this? Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, they roasted each other at the Al Smith charity dinner.
Sure did.
I thought it was actually kind of funny.
I thought some of it was funny.
Should we hear a little bit of this?
Yeah, let's do highlights.
Here they are.
Just before taking the dais, Hillary accidentally bumped into me, and she very civilly said, "Pardon me."
Like how you can hear Hillary laughing first.
I know.
You know it's her laugh, too.
I think everybody waited to see if she laughed. They're like, oh, shit. Ooh.
This is the first time ever, that Hillary is sitting down and speaking to major corporate leaders and not getting paid for it.
You can hear her.
She's such a cackler.
You know, the president told me to stop whining. But I really have to say, the media is even more biased this year than ever before. Ever. You want the proof? Michelle Obama gives a speech, and everyone loves it. It's fantastic. They think she's absolutely great. My wife, Melania, gives the exact same speech. And people get on her case.
You know what's funny about that? He plagiarized that joke.
Did he?
Yeah, a comedian already said that joke.
Really? Oh,
really?
Yeah.
That is hilarious.
Oh, my God. The guy is such an idiot.
I think that's funny. The best part, right?
That is the best part.
No, not a lot of people know about that, but
that's
yeah,
funny.
Go look that up.
Who was it?
I don't know.
You guys want to hear Hillary's rebuttal, or at least one
comedian
of the jokes?
Comedian Kyle Novak.
World
Maybe
renowned.
It was from this very show.
Here's Hillary roasting Trump.
This is such a special event that I took a break from my rigorous nap schedule to be here.
Lame joke.
And as you've already heard, it's a treat for all of you, too, because usually I charge a lot for speeches like this. Donald, if at any time you don't like what I'm saying, feel free to stand up and shout wrong while I'm talking. You know, come to think of it, it's amazing I'm up here after Donald. I didn't think he'd be okay with a peaceful transition of power.
There you go. Yeah, pretty funny.
Yeah, there's some other good lines I've heard.
Wouldn't the
Hillary accused Donald Trump of thinking the Statue of Liberty is only a 4?
Really?
Yeah.
This is the weirdest election ever, isn't it?
It is.
This this L. Smith thing, though, is a traditional thing.
Yeah, that is traditional.
Oh, this is?
Yeah.
Where they roast each other?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had no
Candidates,
idea.
Candidates, yeah.
I don't remember this from past years past. Weird.
Well, because this is an abnormal election cycle, I feel like.
I guess so.
The two primary candidates we have to choose from, could be they have to be the worst possible candidates I think we've ever had, right?
I think so. I think.
I mean, if we go back through history, like, was there ever an election that was worse than this?
I don't think so.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
but I don't think so, though. I really don't.
It actually isn't the first time that one of the candidates threatened the legitimacy of the vote. I guess that happened around the time of the Civil War, and just before the Civil War happened.
Right.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
Look what happened.
And then the Civil War. I know. And then because when Lincoln was put into office, a lot of people said
Lincoln being elected triggered the secession.
Right. Yeah. People thought he was not legitimately placed in office. And then then the Civil War happened. So that's why it's so terrifying that Donald Trump's like, I'm going to question the legitimacy of the electorate.
You know how he says that it's rigged, right? I feel like he's there because Hillary sent him to be the Republican nominee to let her.
Yeah. A lot of people have been saying that.
I know, but it is rigged because she did rig it possibly by having her friend Trump.
It's anything's possible. I don't know.
Who watched The Apprentice? A lot of people.
People watched it. It was on for like a long time.
I feel like those are the people who are voting for Trump.
Tough to say. Mm. My mom watched The Apprentice, but she's not voting for Trump.
You've had that conversation with her?
Is she voting
about
for
who
Jill
she's voting
Stein?
For? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Jill
yeah.
Stein?
No.
Gary Johnson.
Both my parents. Registered as Republicans for the first time this year, and they're voting for Hillary.
The first time they've ever registered as Republican?
Yep.
And they're
they used to register as Democrat?
No, they've been independents forever.
And they're crossing party lines.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
I think a lot of people are doing that. But, our paranormal correspondent, Samantha Scarlett, we should probably get her on the line here soon.
She's not listening, so it's fine.
Yeah. She's going to bring on a guest that's going to talk about the Black Dahlia murder.
It's pretty interesting stuff.
Steve Hodell. He's a New York Times bestselling author.
Out of the three of us, Chris is the expert, so.
No. Well, I mean.
Out of the three of us, you're the expert Steve Hodell.
Let's not use the word expert. That could get me into trouble.
We're going to say our resident expert, just like Fox News does.
Should we...
depth researcher.
No, we'll just say expert.
Whatever.
Well, before we get that going, why don't we hit another classic prank call? There's just so many of these. There's like probably like a couple hundred, so we might as well play a couple.
Oh, really? Wow.
Here we go. Here's another EJC classic prank call.
EJC classic prank call.
Thank you for calling Pestero Family. How can we help?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing fine. How you doing?
Oh, I'm just having one hell of a day. That's what I'm doing. I have a problem here, little sweetheart.
I'm fine.
Let me tell you the story that's going on. Maybe you can help me with my situation. Last night I come home, 10-hour day, working, for the man. And I come home and I go into my backyard and my little fox terrier is being tag-teamed by a couple dogs in the neighborhood. And I was just wondering, because I don't want her to be pregnant yet. I want to breed her, okay? I want, make some money off these little shits.
Uh-huh.
And I was just wondering if they, if you guys carry the morning after pill for dogs.
No, we don't. I would recommend calling the vet. Their number's 303.
Oh, hold on. I was just, do you know if they make that product? And also,
no,
this two-part question. Do you know if they make the product, and do you know if it's safe for human use?
Of course it wouldn't be. That's kind of ridiculous.
Well, why is that ridiculous, ma'am?
Because human use and dog canine is totally different bodies.
But we're both mammals. It all works the same way.
And then she hangs up. There you go. This is a classic. I liked it.
You laughed. Chris didn't.
I laughed a couple times.
I liked it.
It was...
You laughed on the inside, huh, Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's that. Yeah.
Mm. We just have so many prank
calls. I call that the Frasier laugh.
Where you go to this?
Yeah. Mm. Interesting.
I don't think in the history of Frasier anybody has actually laughed out loud.
Only when the dog was involved.
The dog named Eddie.
Eddie, why are you humping Niles' legs?
No one's getting that reference.
Well, that's the EJC show.
You gotta stop.
I'm in love with Daphne, but I'm so gay.
Daphne!
You gotta stop binge-watching Frasier, Eddie.
Don't tell Eddie what to do.
Sorry.
You don't like.
You need to stop binge-watching Frasier.
But, I bought the DVD box set back in the 90s. I gotta enjoy it.
VHS.
Tossed salad and scrambled eggs. All right.
You know what the best part of our show is? We're current.
Tossed salad and scrambled. What a terrible song. How come Frasier sang his own theme song? Has that ever happened before in the history of
It was only the outro theme. There was... Frasier was one of the shows that pioneered not having like a title song, though. It was just like a title card.
I thought it was this.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads.
No, that's the outro song.
Oh.
Mercy. And baby, I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe. But I got you pegged.
Can we get the audio of Kelsey Grammer falling in the on the stage again? If we're going to be on Kelsey Grammer, we might as well.
Yeah. Okay.
Modernize it a little bit.
We played this like a couple weeks ago. Let's play it again, though. Kelsey Grammer is giving a speech, and he falls down in front of a huge crowd.
He falls through the stage.
A small world, pretending I was a UN interpreter.
Oh no, Frasier!
I think I'm. Wow, that's really bad.
And he just stands there.
That's the most Sideshow Bob thing he's ever done.
You
should have been like, oh.
Follow Eddie, Jason, and Chris on Twitter at EJC Show.
It's the Eddie, Jason, and Chris Show. That's right. We are on Twitter, EJC Show. Also, Facebook. Find us on there if you haven't done that yet. On Skype, our paranormal correspondent. Are we still calling you that? Samantha Scarlett is on the line.
Hey.
Is that what you are, the paranormal correspondent?
Yes, I guess I'm the Eddie, Jason, and Chris Show paranormal correspondent. I don't know. Whatever you want to call me. I don't care.
Well, how are you?
I'm good. By the way, if I sound weird, though, I'm getting a cold. I woke up this morning with a sore throat. So if I sound strange this week, that's why.
Well, it's okay. Quite all right. I was actually on your website this week, and I saw you had some really cool photos of that. I don't even know what it's called, but it's like where you put the hooks into your skin and then you hang.
Oh, suspension.
Does that hurt? Because that's
no.
Just like,
see, everyone thinks it hurts, and they're all like, "Oh, did the piercings hurt?" The piercings actually hurt a lot less than like getting like your nose pierced. And then as soon as you get your back pierced, because there's really no nerves, your adrenaline rush like kicks in. It's kind of the fight or flight response. So when you're hanging and they pull you up, you don't feel any pain. But then about 5 hours later, you kind of feel like you were hit by a car.
Oh my God.
Why did you do it?
I just did out of curiosity. Like, I saw it on the Travel Channel about like 8 or 9 years ago. And then I knew like a bunch of people that did it in New York from like the goth scene. And I read up on it. And supposedly you could have like a religious experience with it. So I was just curious about it.
Did you?
It's definitely like different. I would totally do it again.
Well, if anybody
do you recommend it?
What?
I said, do you recommend it?
I don't know that I necessarily recommend it. It's kind of not for everyone. It's one of those things. I would say it's kind of like religion. You should like do a lot of research on it before you decide whether this is the right path for you to try it out.
Well, if anybody wants to see those photos, definitely check those out at SamanthaScarlett.com. So I just wanted to make sure we plug your website, and that's a good way to, or a good reason to go check it out. but we should get our guest on the line here, Steve Hodell. That's how we say his name, correct?
And yes, I believe so.
He's a New York Times bestselling author, and he spent 24 years with the LAPD, I guess. And he's an expert on the Black Dahlia murder, right?
Yes, his father actually is accused of murdering the Black Dahlia in their home, the Soden House, which is a really famous house in L.A. It was built by Frank Lloyd Wright's son, Lloyd Wright, in 1926. And the house was featured in Leonardo DiCaprio's The Aviator and on America's Next Top Model. Right. And the house is allegedly haunted, but that is where the Black Dahlia was allegedly murdered. So,
well, let's get him on the line here. We won't keep him waiting because he is expecting our call. Fascinating guest.
I feel like the EJC studio should move there.
Yeah, we should. Is it for rent?
Hello.
I think it's for sale.
Hello, Mr. Hello, Mr. Steve Hodell. How are you? Welcome to the Eddie, Jason, and Chris show. Samantha Scarlett is here as well. How are you?
Great. I'm terrific. How are you guys doing?
Doing fantastic. So, for our listeners who may not be familiar, Mr. Steve Hodell is a New York Times best-selling author. He spent 24 years at the LAPD, where as a homicide detective, he worked on more than 300 murder cases. And achieve one of the highest solve rates in the force. Congratulations on that. And your first book is Black Dahlia Avenger, A Genius for Murder. And that's a New York Times bestseller talking all about the Black Dahlia murder and more. And welcome to the show. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Good to be with you guys.
This is such a fascinating topic.
And it really is.
Yeah, go ahead. Samantha.
Go ahead.
So for anyone that's not aware, in 1947, I think it happened in January, 22-year-old wannabe actress Elizabeth Short was discovered in the Limerick Park neighborhood of Los Angeles. She was cut in half at the waist. I believe there was no blood on site. Her face was like slit in one of those like Chelsea Grin type things. And it was just a very gruesome murder. And she was discovered by a mother who was walking her baby. She originally thought it was a mannequin just from the bizarre way that the body was thrown about and completely nude on the right next to the sidewalk. And the case has never been solved until about the early 2000s. A lot of stuff came to light that Steve's father, Dr. George Hodell, could have perpetrated the murder. So Steve, can you tell us about it? And how did you first suspect that your father murdered the Black Dahlia?
Yeah, well, you know, the strange thing is that this case came to me. I was long retired from LAPD. I was doing private investigations, and my father died at the age of 91 in 1999, and I went down to San Francisco, did all the things you have to do to take care of a father's passing. We were very close, and I had spent the last 10 years, he had been out of country for a long time, and then the last 10 years of his life, he returned to San Francisco. We saw a lot of each other and became very close. And I was given his widow June gave me a number of things, and that started me on this impossible, took me down the rabbit hole, I guess you could say. A couple of things were a photograph of a beautiful dark-haired young woman about in her early 20s who apparently appeared to be Elizabeth Short.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, well, that's interesting. Dad knew her from back then. And a bunch of other things came, about five or six things. We don't have really time to go into all of the things that started me on this adventure. But I talked with my half-sister, after his passing. We're talking about the great man and his remarkable life. And she comes out of nowhere and says, you know, he was a suspect in the Black Dahlia murder.
What are you talking about, Tamar?
Wow. Where is this coming from? And she and I had only had maybe 10, 20 minutes of conversations in the past 50 years. So she was in Hawaii and had kind of, she was a victim of incest. My father had been arrested back in 1949 and tried in Los Angeles for sexual intercourse with her. He was acquitted in a kind of an OJ verdict. They came back even though there were three witnesses, adults present during the acts. And that's when he left the country. Anyway, I said, no way. And I started looking at it. And I'd been a homicide detective for, 17 years. I knew about the case, but I didn't even know the victim's name, Elizabeth Short. Anyway, I said, well, there's no way he could have been involved in that. You know, he was an amazing guy and he was pretty quirky and he had his idiosyncrasy, shall we say, but murder, no way.
Wow.
So I started out to show, began to show that he had nothing to do with this crime and followed the evidence. And 2 years later, I'm submitting it to the DA in secret to review the case. And he comes back and says, you know, there's enough here to file and win a case at a trial. So wow. that's the short version of it.
Okay.
Now, in 2004, you found the someone found the documents in the L.A. County vault of the original investigation from 1949.
That's right, Samantha. What actually happened was my book came out, and after I got the DA's saying that he would file based on my investigation, there's enough to file a case against George were he still alive. My book came. I wrote the book. It came out, and that blasted open some secret files in the DA's office. And these files, we discover that George Hodel all along was the prime suspect. They knew it was a surgeon, and Dad was a skilled surgeon.
And that would explain the cutting in half of the torso, right? If he was a skilled surgeon, then that's more evidence that might.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, yeah. I had six surgeons review the photographs, and they all said this had to have been done by a surgeon, which of course limits the suspect pool dramatically.
Her uterus was also removed.
But he was actually named as the actual suspect all along, and these were hidden away, these secret files. It was he split the country, and there's a whole lot. You kind of have to understand the history of what was going on. L.A. was very corrupt back then, the LAPD and the city, the mayor and everybody. It was a real-life L.A. Confidential kind of thing back then.
Wow.
Now, you also believe your father may have been the Zodiac killer. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, I would have never gone there except what happened was I'm got the secret files, and I discover that Elizabeth Short, the Black Dahlia, just a few months before she's murdered, goes back to Chicago and starts investigating a murder, the three different murders. They were called the Lipstick Murders in Chicago, which were very famous. Two adults and then one six-year-old child, surgically bisected, posed on city streets just like the Dahlia case would be later. And a hemicorpectomy. They knew it was a surgeon that did it. Anyway,
just real quick, I know the Zodiac Killer, there's a famous sketch of what this man might have looked like. Does that resemble your father at all?
Yeah, well, there are three different sketches that were done, the composites. And I always thought Zodiac was a much younger man. But when I got into the weeds of investigating, it turns out he was actually the best witness. It was a police officer that actually saw him and said he was about 45 years old, actually. Well, Dad was 60, but he could pass easily for 45. And if you look at the second composite, it's a picture-perfect drawing. But there's a lot more than that. Since then, we cracked a code, that one of the codes that was sent in, a cipher by Zodiac, and Dad actually signed his name, Hodel, in the cipher code.
Wow.
So, I mean, there's no doubt it all comes together, but it's a very bizarre. What he did was he reinvented himself from the Black Dahlia Avenger, which is the name he gave himself in the 40s, to Zodiac in the 60s. And he just started, in Northern California and taunting the papers, handwriting 25 notes, just like he did in L.A., whole bunch of similarities. There's about 32 unique crime signature points that I point out But the icing on the cake was this latest recent development that just came out. I came out last year with a new book, a second book, Most Evil 2, which cracks this Frenchman, a high school teacher, cracked the code. And actually, it was an ancient Celtic code that spells out Odell.
Oh, wow.
So,
wow.
Isn't
it quite unusual? I'm just going to interject here. Isn't it quite unusual for a serial killer to change his modus operandi?
Well, it wasn't changed very much. There, like I say, there's 31, I point out 31 different crime signature MOs that are identical between Avenger and Zodiac. You know, what's unusual is the taunting, sending in notes and stuff. I had, you know, in all of my murder investigations, I never had a suspect that actually sent in, you know, taunting notes to the police. And of course, we both had that both in Black Dahlia Avenger and in Zodiac. He sent in 25 over the years. And the handwriting, you know, I did blind analysis by experts, and they came back and made the handwriting. There's a whole lot of stuff that connects him. I've actually was able in the Dahlia case to connect a physical evidence from our Soden house, that Mayan temple on Franklin, to actually the crime scene. There were some cement bags that I was able to connect from one to the other. So it's a massive amount. It's way beyond any reasonable doubt. I mean, as far as you know, the cases are concerned. So, you know, it's come a long way. That's why there's now four books out.
Writing letters, and then I just want to like step back to the investigation, but as far as him writing letters, could he have been inspired by Jack the Ripper? Because Jack the Ripper sent in letters to the police stations and newspapers in England, and the crimes are kind of similar in the fact that the Black Dahlia had her uterus removed, and Jack the Ripper liked to cut out the sexual reproductive organs as well, so...
Not only that, Samantha, but he actually cut off, in one of the Chicago cases, he sent a human ear to the victim's parents and said, "You're next." Well, the Ripper actually said he would cut off an ear and send it in, and you're absolutely right. I'm sure he was a ripperologist. I'm sure he was very familiar with Jack the Ripper's crimes because he does a lot of different things. He writes in mercurochrome, which was a red antiseptic, pretending it's blood like Jack the Ripper did in his days. He used ink. And there's a whole bunch of similar things that he does in these, both the Zodiac and the Dahlia cases that mimic Jack the Ripper. So you're absolutely right on that.
On a personal note, knowing your father the way you did, what do you think might have motivated him to commit these atrocities?
Well, I try and in all of my books, I try and look at the different triggers, and there's a whole bunch of them. He was a very unique individual, 186 IQ, 1 point above Einstein. Incidentally, that skips a generation, so my boys are in good shape. But anyway, he was a misogynist. He was an urban terrorist. His thrill was in holding cities hostage. He did it with L.A., terrorizing them with the notes and tauntings. He did it as Zodiac in San Francisco. He did it in Chicago. He also did one in Manila, which, just a few miles from his house. When he left the country here, he was about to be arrested by LAPD, and he fled the country and went to Manila and reinvented himself there as a market researcher, psychiatrist. And he actually committed a Dahlia murder in Manila, just a few miles from his home. And again, it was the same thing, surgical bisection, on and on.
Now,
so, but as far as the triggers, I'm congenital. I'm absolutely sure, he was insane, no question about that.
Definitely.
But he had this tremendous hatred of women. He was a misogynist.
Separate yourself from this? I mean, it is your own father. I mean, when you're going down the road in this investigation, do you not... how are you feeling about it personally?
Yeah, well, when I started out, I was going to, you know, because we were close, and I loved my, he had 11 children by 5 different women.
Oh, my God.
And
busy man.
Yeah, and I was his favorite, go figure, I was his favorite son, and we were very close, especially the last 10 years. And so I was absolutely sure that I was going to show the, you know, because I was in awe of my father and his remarkable gifts, and I was going to show he had nothing to do with this. But that's the son, the trained professional homicide detective, followed the evidence, and much to my surprise and shock, it took me the other direction, and it all came together. So, you know, I had to separate the son who loved his father from the you know, objective homicide detective following the evidence. And
yeah,
it's been rough. I mean, I've been through every possible emotion you can go through, frankly, and now it's just a terrible sadness for me.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, Steve, at this point, like with all the information that you know, would you say that you still love your father?
Oh, yes, I do. I mean, I know that sounds hard to believe because he was one of the world's worst, you know, misogynists and serial killers. But you know, he gave me life. His blood flows through me. So, yeah, there's a part of me that still loves my father, and I see him kind of as a Jekyll and Hyde, you know, the good Dr. Jekyll who could have done anything for good, unfortunately, was the monster, the Mr. Hyde inside of him was stronger, and it took over and was all-powerful. So I love the Jekyll, and I hate the monster inside of him that killed. Right now we're up to 25 and still counting. Wow. Murders.
Over 40 years.
Now, stepping like way back, because I had more stuff that I just wanted to cover in this. When the 1949 investigation went on, they bugged the house. I think it was in the early winter of 1950. And when they bugged the house, they have tapes where he basically confessed to killing the Dahlia and to killing his secretary. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. When we got into these secret files after my book came out and blasted open this vault that had been locked away in the DA's office for 55 years, we found these secret transcripts. The 18 detectives, 24/7 around the clock, they bugged our home. And this is not phone bugs. This is actual live microphones hidden in the walls and recording his actual live conversations. And the biggie, the reason for what I call a Dahlia Gate, the cover-up by LAPD, was a murder actually happened while they're staked out. I'm reading these transcripts, and I can't believe it. I'm turning the pages, and it says George Hodel goes down to the basement. An object is heard striking. A woman screams. More blows. A woman screams again.
Oh, my God.
And I'm reading this, and I'm thinking, you know, they're 5 minutes away. Why aren't they out the door and making a rescue? Well, they did nothing. They just sat there. And
it was either a serious felony or a murder. It was sort of like an internal personnel kind of cover-up, and they're just trying to save each other's backs with, you know, the brotherhood.
You have to understand what was going on in L.A. at the time. Chief Parker was about to take command. He was literally weeks away from becoming the new chief, and he knew if this came out that it would take away his chance of, you know, cleaning up the department and turning it around. So I'm sure they made this kind of Machiavellian decision to say, well, let's lock this away for now. We'll come back to it at a future time. But for now, let's lock this away. And he's fled the country. Dad took off and left. We may be able to find him. Maybe we can't. So let's just lock it away for now, do what we need to do, and come back to it. And, of course, they never did come back to it. They just locked it away and left it like that.
We're running short on time here. We have, I think Samantha had another question. Or
I have,
probably,
like, okay. I had a couple and more Chris questions. One I want to know, do you think, were you or any members of your family possibly home when any of the murders occurred? And if so, how could he have removed the body? And then I just want to ask a couple quick questions about the haunting stuff.
Yeah, well, that question came to me. I said, there's no way he's going to do this murder there with us home. Well, we find out from the transcripts, the secret DA files, we weren't there. Mom and us three boys were away for that three-week period staying with her brother, our uncle. So the house was alone. He was there alone by himself during that time period.
And what about the hauntings?
What was the other question?
Samantha, hold on.
I want to segue off of your last question. Okay. Have any of your siblings or other family members rejected your conclusions?
There's 11 of us out there. My full brother's total acceptance. Of course, Tamar, the victim of the incest, is totally on board. The Filipino family says no, there's no way. He was a loving father. And of course, they only knew him for 4 years. He was married to their mother in the Philippines. And, you know, they saw him on occasion, but they all reject it. They say there's no way this can be. You know, she became a senator in the Philippines. And there, you know, there's a whole culture there where, you know, the Asian culture where it's about saving face. You're not gonna, even if it was true, they wouldn't. They couldn't understand how you could, you know, present something like this as a family secret.
Right.
So it's a whole different thing. But I guess it's split, you know, for the most part. And they haven't read my books either. So
what about your mother, Steve?
My mother passed before she knew. There's no question. And there's a whole. Oh. My mom was married to John Huston, the famous film director.
Oh, wow.
And he was good friends with Dad. And so there's a whole Hollywood thing in there and throughout that we've throughout. And Dad was basically an untouchable. He was the head of LA County Health Department, venereal disease control, treating the rich and famous.
Hiding in plain sight.
Huston was very close to us. My mom knew, but she took it to her grave.
John Huston, of course, the famous director of The Maltese Falcon and other film noirs.
Samantha, go ahead. I know you had a couple more questions. We're almost out of time, though.
How do you think your father met Elizabeth Short? Is it true, like how they portrayed on American Horror Story, that he was carrying out backroom abortions?
Well, he was. He admits on the tapes, on the DA tapes, we know for a fact that he was committing abortions because he admits it. She had a Bartholin gland problem that was infected, and I think that's probably how they met. She probably came. He owned a private VD clinic downtown, so they may have met that way. Or Man Ray was also our family photographer. He was a famous surrealist photographer. And it looks like she modeled for him, and he did some paintings of her. So Dad could have met her through Man Ray. Either way, I'm not sure which. But there's a whole surrealist aspect to this that we don't have time to touch on. Well, but it's a very important part of his crime signature. He repeated a lot of it. He posed her body to mimic a couple of Man Ray's famous photographs, and it's just the whole thing is just. Really very bizarre.
The whole thing is surreal, quite honestly.
So, if we can quick get to the haunting, the two main things with the haunting are, one, Zorin Babbles, when he purchased the house, or Balbez, I'm sorry if I mispronounced his name, purchased the house around 2001, 2002. He renovated the house. He used Eric Lloyd Wright, who's Lloyd Wright's son, who's a great architect. My mom actually interviewed him for a documentary she did to help with the renovations. And during the renovation process, he started feeling it, Zorin Babbles did. He started feeling an evil presence within the house within a month or so of moving in. And he actually had a Native American shaman and a priest cleanse the house. And the house was also, I think it was after he sold the house, was featured with you on the Sci-Fi Channel's show Ghost Hunters. So if you could tell us about those little things, that'd be great.
Yeah, well, I'm not into the paranormal, and I kind of, because I don't want it to contaminate my investigation, I want it to be objective,
and
you know, all the things that you can need for court, so I don't go into the paranormal aspects of it, but at the same time, we had a forensic, I had an opportunity, I went on Ghost Hunters because I had an opportunity to do a forensic testing with a cadaver dog, Buster, and we did that there, and he actually alerted to human remains in the basement and at the rear of the house. And we took soil samples.
Bodies?
Those were analyzed, and they came back positive for human remains.
Wow.
So no question about that. Dogs don't alert on dead rabbits or rats. They only on human remains.
Well, I mean, there's just so much to talk. We can do like an entire show on this. Such a fascinating topic.
Yeah.
But, Steve, we really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you so much.
Steve Hodell, New York Times bestselling author.
Fascinating.
And please pick up his books. They all start with Black Dahlia Avenger, A Genius for Murder, and then followed by Most Evil. And then Black Dahlia Avenger 2 and Most Evil 2. And all those are available now, correct?
You got it.
All right, well, thank you.
You got it. And there's a lot
thank
of information
you.
There, but it's all one investigation, but it's took me four books to get it all together.
Such a fascinating thing. Thank you again for your time. Jason, I have one quick thing to say.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Just real quick, Steve, if there's anything that pops up in the future in your investigation.
Yeah, let us know.
Yeah, let us
come
know.
Back.
We'll bring it on. And
we'll
it's
okay.
Fascinating.
Well, we're working on trying to get a miniseries presented so we can present it visually because of the art aspects and all of that. It would be a good way for people to understand the real history of Los Angeles.
Well,
and
if you need any actors or actresses for that, let us know.
We'd love
host.
To have you back.
I'll be the Dahlia. No.
We could be a host for the show.
Great talking to all of you. Have a great time.
You
thank
too.
You
well,
so
thank
much.
You. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Samantha. Wow. That was
fascinating.
Thank you.
That was
Quick fun fact. You know, the psych
fun
or
fact.
The Tower Reader tarot reader we had on a couple weeks ago, Tamar Lelania, she was actually named after Steve Hodell's sister, Tamar Hodell, who was Tamar the tarot reader's mom's roommate, like in, I think, the 60s or something.
So, that's so cool. What a connection.
It's a small world.
What a small world.
Small world.
A well, little, sort of a quirky, weird little tangent. Hodell mentioned John Huston, that his mother had been married to. He was a famous director, but he was also a occasional actor, and he starred or co-starred in the movie Chinatown. And in that movie, he plays a character who has who commits incest with his daughter. So it all kind of it all comes right around on itself.
What a weird multi-layered story.
Ooh.
Yeah. There's honestly a lot we didn't touch on.
Oh,
yeah,
I know. I feel we could have done an hour. We could have done an hour with him. All right. Well, Samantha, again, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's always
great. Thanks, guys. Talk
thank
to you soon.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. There you go. Samantha Scarlett, our paranormal investigator. Okay, let's hit a song here, and we can come back and hit some news, see what's happening in the world. It's the Eddie, Jason, and Chris show here on Adobe. And follow us on Twitter if you haven't done the Eddie, JC show. We'll let you know when all of our podcasts are up and all that good stuff. And
this is a comedy show.
I forgot. Here's
It felt like Dateline there for a minute. But I was intrigued. I was into it.
See, the show, it plays with every emotion.
Multi-layered show.
Every emotion here.
Just like the Black Dahlia, apparently.
Yeah.
Multi-layered.
This is the Eddie, Jason, and show. Wait.
What? What are you saying?
Shut up.
What are you saying?
This is
Don't
the
ruin
Eddie,
my
Jason,
show.
And Chris show speaking.
What? Yes, it's the Eddie, Jason, and Chris show, 1-888-99-ADOBE, of course, if you want to call in, you can do that, EJC show on Twitter.
Great show.
It's
really
been a good show. We're going to have Chris's news
insightful.
Here in a second. Yeah, I think we've learned a lot about the world.
Well, a lot,
I don't know why I'm talking
just,
like that, sorry. I was just really stupid.
I know, either.
Like, it was different perspectives that we've introduced to everyone, I feel like, today.
Can I just
open everyone's eyes a little bit?
Can I have like a quick Larry King moment before we get to Chris's news?
I don't know what that means, but go for it. Well, majority rules here.
Why is it when you go to the grocery store and you want to buy cilantro, they give you so much fucking cilantro?
They do give you a shit ton of cilantro. It is an absurd amount of cilantro to have to buy.
Isn't it? Because usually when I need cilantro, I just need just a little bit. It's a garnish. But then you go to the grocery store, they give this giant bushel, and you always throw away like 95% of it.
It's only good for like 3 days.
And
who
that's
goes
the thing
through
too,
that
it,
much cilantro
it doesn't
in
last.
3 days? Yeah.
Are you using it as a garnish or like as a spice?
Both. Well, doesn't matter what you do with it, you're going to end up with an excess of cilantro.
You could buy like the spice, like the dried cilantro.
Yeah, but
so
when you want fresh cilantro, it tastes different.
You know what I do? Just cut off some that you need and just pocket it.
Yeah. Just open up your wallet at the grocery store and just put a couple cilantro leaves in.
Yeah, if you don't need a lot, why not?
What you do? Are you one of those grazers at the grocery store? Do you like eat grapes?
Well, speaking of cilantro, we grew it this summer, so we had.
So you must have a lot to throw away then.
We threw most of our cilantro away, but we
everybody throws 95% of the world's cilantro. I think ends up in the garbage
or goes to Chipotle to make the rice.
But that's my Larry King moment. Cilantro, how why do we have so many of it? I'm Larry King.
I mean, what else would you do though?
I don't know.
Huh? Okay.
I just wanted to talk about cilantro.
Try the dried seasoning then.
Should we go to Chris's news? Let's go to Chris's news.
How about that, you wasteful fuck?
We'll see what's happening in the world. There's always a new headline.
Goddamn Larry King.
Breaking news according to CNN. Hillary is leading the polls by 5%. There you go.
All right.
With a error margin of plus or minus 4%.
That's just it. Women wearing yoga pants paraded through a town in Rhode Island
Sunday to protest a man who said the attire looks tacky and ridiculous.
Good.
In a letter,
like, seriously, you're an idiot.
In a letter, the man wrote to the local newspaper. He explained his dislike of yoga pants. He said women over age 20 shouldn't wear them.
What?
He added yoga pants are the worst
but
thing to happen.
Under 20 can. What a pedophile.
He added yoga pants are the worst thing to happen in women's fashion since the miniskirt.
What?
Oh my god.
Who women is this?
Called his comments sexist and held the yoga pants parade in his honor.
I wish I could have been at that parade.
I googled some images. Some older women.
Oh. So he's like saying, you know, like,
only
women
if you're
who
hot can you wear yoga pants. Is what
he's
saying.
Which would preclude any of us from wearing yoga pants.
When's the last time you wore yoga pants,
Eddie? I don't think men are supposed to wear yoga pants because your junk just would be out there.
You got the bulge.
And you'd probably get arrested.
Well, you know, I should put it out there a little more often. You know, why am I denying this to the world?
No, you're right. I mean, women can show cleavage. I think it's a little bit sexist if you can't show ball cleavage.
Yeah. The camel toe is as American as apple pie these days. So.
Well, now we just have to have the camel hump.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. Yeah.
The camel hump. I want to talk to this guy.
We'll call it the Battle of the Bulge.
Mm. Well, what else?
Too soon. Too soon.
I Frasier'd.
Too soon.
Toss salad and scrambled eggs.
Alrighty. Bill Murray stepped in. This just in. Stepped in for White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest on Friday.
We actually have some audio of this.
Holding his own short briefing in the White House press room. The actor used his time to discuss the Chicago Cubs.
Mr. President, do you think the Cubs will win?
I feel very confident. I think Kershaw is a great, great pitcher, but
audio's terrible.
Yeah. Murray was in D.C. to accept the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor at the Kennedy Center last night. During his tour of the White House, Murray spoke briefly with President Obama. Obama said he was wearing a Cubs jacket, which for a White Sox fan is a little troubling.
Mm. I didn't even know the White Sox still existed.
They won the World Series like 5 years ago.
The White Sox?
Yeah.
You know what's interesting about the Cubs?
Oh, what?
The last time they won the World Series, sliced bread hadn't been invented.
Really?
Yeah, really. The Model T had just rolled off the line like few days before.
Who are you?
That's crazy.
You're like a History Channel voiceover right now.
There's just think about that, though.
That is crazy.
Sliced bread had not been invented the last time they won the pennant.
That is crazy.
1908.
But
think about that.
Bill Murray, though, back to him just like showing up on the...
That man does what he wants.
Isn't he awesome? He makes the coolest appearances. Like just recently, maybe like a year or two ago, he showed up at a random bar at South by Southwest and was pouring everybody tequila shots no matter what they ordered.
Oh, nice.
And,
isn't he an honorary graduate of Regis?
Yeah, really? He's been spotted around town a lot, actually.
Yeah. Or did he go to Regis?
I think he went to DU, actually.
DU?
Yeah, he went to DU.
I thought it was Regis.
It could have been Regis. I don't know.
Either way, he's like a local, yeah, like he's
a local legend.
And Bill Murray is one of the best.
And then he also showed up. He's been doing these just crazy things. And then he...
Is it possible he's slowly losing his mind?
It's getting old.
We just
Why
think
not?
It's adorable and funny, but really he's just... You know, has early onset Alzheimer's.
No, absolutely not. Like, when I'm older, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want to. And, he's doing the same thing.
But that's not going to...
You can just blame the age.
That's not going to mean that you don't have early onset Alzheimer's, though, right? You could have Alzheimer's as well.
Yeah.
It's a common disease.
Well, you could blame it even if you don't. You could just say, I don't know, I'm old. Fuck off.
Maybe that's what Donald Trump should have done. Like, I grabbed pussy, but I got Alzheimer's, so it's fine.
Do you want to...
Doing whatever your old man did.
It's funny that, what's his name, Billy Bush, was let go of the Today Show over what Trump said.
Yeah.
I find that kind of funny. Like, he didn't say it, but Trump said it, but he got fired.
Yeah.
Like, I don't... That makes no sense to
Billy
me.
Bush was egging him on, and then also...
Wouldn't you, as a reporter? You knew a mic was hot.
Well...
As a reporter, as an entertainer, you always believe that there's a mic on.
No, you're right. If there's Absolutely. A mic on you, you assume it's hot.
Well, even if it's around you or you're
in you.
In you, yeah. You just, like, as, you know, you and I, you know, the three of us, like...
Yeah, we just assume these mics are hot all the time because usually they are. We're usually, like, live.
Well, we messed up.
Eddie is terrible at... yeah.
I think I've got better.
There have been like
8 or 9
shows where mics have been hot when we're off and off when we're on.
And you're talking about grabbing pussy and all this crazy stuff.
And we haven't let you go yet.
Someone's got to grab it. All those women in their yoga pants.
Yeah.
It's irresistible.
See how you brought it back there?
Yeah.
Locker room talk.
Yeah. Should we get to any more stories? Anything worthy of getting to?
Yeah, I got a quick one here. Sure. Donald Glover is going to play a young Lando Calrissian in the upcoming Star Wars movie. The announcement was made on the official Star Wars Twitter account on Friday. The untitled movie is expected out in 2018 and will be about the early life of Han Solo, who will be played by Alden Ehrenreich. However you say that name, Ehrenreich.
This Donald Glover, I mean, he's all over the place. He's got so many hit songs, too. Childish Gambino is his rapper name. You guys know this guy?
No, yeah. I didn't know he was a rapper, but I knew he has like a show on FX.
You know this song. This is one of his big hits. I don't know. This is from Viber. Either the head is so hydra, or we let bygones be bygones. My God, you know this one? For your
friends. No. I'll take that as a compliment. I'm getting too old for this shit.
Jason hasn't heard his new song since 2001. He plugs his ears during the show.
He has so many good... He actually is a pretty good rapper. I know that you enjoy rap occasionally, or hip-hop, Jason, right? Check out this guy. He's actually pretty talented.
Whoa. These rappers are afraid of him,
'cause I'm a beast, bitch, girl. You don't know this one?
Why are you... No. Why are you... categorizing me?
I don't know. Because you deserve it.
You know, we were... I took the family. We went out for Family Fun Day yesterday. We went to Corn Maze. On the way home, there was like a song that said, I don't know, Katie had her, my girlfriend Katie had her phone going. I have to preface that apparently. At this point, everyone should know who Katie is. But Katie had like some music going, and it was rap, and it said something about hoes and blah, blah, blah. And like, I hear Kinsey in the back like saying, all these hoes.
Your daughter.
My daughter, my 5-year-old daughter, saying all these hoes.
I'm like, all these hoes?
Yeah, and I was like, Katie, we gotta limit what we're playing in front of Kinsey. Like, that is not cool.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, what are you gonna do?
I mean, yeah, I know, I get it, but I like, to a point where you just gotta like shut it down.
Kids gotta find out about all these hoes at some point.
Yeah. And actually, I did see this news story. I clipped it for the show a long time ago, but they said that kids, when they curse, it's really not a big deal if they do it in your home, but like, you don't want them to do it at school. That's the thing.
Well, Kinsey,
so like, you have to.
Right. Well, Kinsey doesn't like us cussing. Like, if I say
she doesn't like you guys cussing.
If I say fuck, damn, shit, any of that, like, she's like,
what about cunt? Is she okay with that?
She doesn't know cunt because I don't use the word cunt because I'm a gentleman.
Yeah.
Asshole.
Cheers, sir.
Cheers. Cunt.
Anyway, if I say asshole, like if I say idiot. Kenzie's like, Daddy, that's a bad word. Don't say that. Like, any word that's negative, she knows that it's not right. So like, she...
According to who, though? These are...
Well, I applaud you for using the word idiot in lieu of the harsher retarded.
Oh.
Which is an adjective. That word?
That's no longer politically correct, apparently.
Oh. Anyway, she does say, that's a bad word. You're not supposed to say that. So she doesn't mimic us. She, you know, I've never heard her cuss. I just heard her say hoes.
Well,
ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas. Hi. Maybe she wanted some ho-hos.
I know. She was rapping. She was singing to the song. Like, she knew the song.
Maybe like, Katie, she thought the song was about ho-hos.
Well, either way,
Santa Claus.
Katie has played that song in front of her before to the point where she knows the song. I told Katie that she needs to, like, not play that song. Like,
Do you think Santa Claus is a pimp? Because he wears outrageous outfits.
Well, Santa
so
Claus
was like,
isn't
ho, 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 get over here.
Santa Claus isn't real, Chris. Sorry to burst that bubble.
Oh, why are you saying that?
He is real in our minds, right?
Whatever, dude.
Philosophically.
This is what's wrong with America.
He exists as an idea, right? We can't ignore that fact.
As an atheist, wouldn't you be against Christmas?
Nah, I like Christmas.
Yeah, me too.
Christmas is awesome.
Yeah, I love Christmas.
Yeah.
I can't wait for Christmas.
It's a good time of year.
It's a great time of year.
I used to be anti-holiday, but
as you get older, you get more into it.
I think you appreciate it more. Look, I have Christmas decorations still up.
Thank you. I was going to jump on that. I'm glad you did that yourself.
I better tweet that right now. I'm going to tweet this Christmas present.
All right. There are still Christmas decorations up in my apartment. It's fine. It's almost Christmas anyways.
The spirit of the holidays lives in Eddie's apartment.
Yeah.
All year
round. You Santa?
Ho, ho, ho.
It's Santa's village.
We'll see you next time on the Eddie, Jason, and Chris Show. Follow us on Twitter if you haven't done that yet. Also, Eddie, Jason, and Chris on iTunes. Find us on there, of course, and subscribe to the podcast. Leave a review and let us know what you think. Thank you for listening on Adobe if you're doing that. We're always available on social media throughout the week. So we're not on. We are on somewhere doing something. Bye. Bye-bye. Bye. Bye.
Good evening.
Let's leave you with this Michelle Obama clip. This is what she said at a recent speech.
We need to pour every last ounce of our passion into beautiful black young women.